Yes, sir.
Yes, no.
Board of Commissioners, Budget Workshop Meeting, Tuesday, March 5th, 2019. The time is 6:12. Pursuant to the requirements of the Open Public Meeting Act, Chapter 231, Public Law 1975, notice of this meeting was published in the February 25th, 2019 issues of the Herald News and February 20th, 2019 issue of the Nutley Sun. A copy of this notice has been posted on the Nutley Town Hall Bulletin Board, and a copy is on file in the Municipal Clerk's Office. Commissioner Rogers.
Here.
Commissioner Tucci.
Here.
Commissioner Evans.
Here.
Commissioner Petracco.
Here.
Mayor Scarpelli.
Here.
All present, Mayor, and Mr. Saronelli and Rosemary Costa will be joining us as well.
Commissioner Evans.
Thank you. By statute, we need to have a budget workshop prior to the introduction of the budget. I want to thank all of you for getting your budget sheets into us and the work that you've done so far. What's really important about where we are right now is there is more work that needs to be done. And I say that in all seriousness. This budget on a revenue side, and I apologize, the schedules that are being cleaned up, Roe and Ray Serinelli are bringing them up in a second, we'll go through this, but just at a high level, the budget right now, the budget process reflects a $400,000 reduction in revenue, primarily because we can only anticipate 85% of the aid that we got the previous year. So last year, this year we got $4.1 million worth of state aid, restricted temporary aid. By statute, we can only anticipate 85% of that, so that's down to $3.6 million. So roughly $600,000 less. That's partially offset by two things. One is the settlement in the Mecca matter required him to reimburse us for costs of $100,000, which this budget reflects the revenue associated with that, and as well as with the RDA that we're going to sign tonight, there's an additional $25,000 reimbursement for legal fees. So the $600,000 is offset down to about $438,000 shortfall in revenue year over year in the budget, primarily because of a statutory limitation. The other budget items that comprise the budget, so construction fees, regular state aid, cable revenues, things like that, are all pretty stable year over year. Now, when you move on to the appropriation side, right now the budget shows an increase in appropriations of approximately $1.7 million. And that's spread out across all of the departments. The most significant component of that increase is public safety. Your budget's up $1,089,000 year over year. And then when I look at the other departments, my budget is up $534,000, but I have pensions and I have sewer.
That seems very high for revenue coming in. So you're almost catching up to me.
Yeah. So when you go through that, Steve and I are the babies on the block. Right? We take out sewer and pension. Joe, your budget is up $260,000-something, but it primarily reflects an increase in salaries of $317,000 and an offset, overall offset in O&E of $64,000. Now, yours is going down. All right. Yes. And I think what's important about that is I think there's the work that we did last year and some of the changes the state are making are worth talking about. So before we get into the details on this, do you want to comment on that?
Yeah. Well, last year we realized by the time we got through all of the reductions and everything, only half of what we expected on an annualized basis. So this year, with the elimination of the 10 and a half positions and not filling positions like everyone did, we will realize the full $435,000 savings. Now, in addition to that, we will also realize the reduction on the health benefits. Okay? And I have, you want me to get into the health benefits now? Shall I roll into that, or you want to wait?
Well, we're going to get lost in all the detail, but I think it's really important, though, to talk about it, because I think it's a significant change.
I'd like to hear it.
Actually, we're more interested in hearing yours.
Your story's a lot better than mine, Al. But anyway, what we had on the active side, all right, we had roughly a 3% increase, all right, which came out to about $4.7 million, all right. And then when you factor in the amount for the water, it's like almost another $200,000. Where we really saved a lot of money was with retirees, all right? We got something like a 37.5% reduction. We went from $215,000 a month payment for retirees down to $85,000.
Wow.
All right, and the reason for that was the state's change from Medicare to the Medicare Advantage, the Aetna Medicare Advantage, all right? Our numbers are relatively stable. Some went up, some went down, as far as active and retirees, but I believe the net change with people that are active, people that are retired, and those that waive was one person. Okay, so we're realizing a lot of savings. We stay on top of this. We monitor this constantly. All right, so that's why you're going to see. And we also have to build in a contingency.
All right. Yeah.
In the event that there's some type of change or a new hire during the course of the year. So we're very happy, and Tom, you and I spoke about this at great length, that we were able to do the work that we did and unfortunately suffer the pain that we suffered, but it's bearing fruit at this point.
Yeah. And do you want to comment? I know you do an analysis to compare, are we better off in state health benefits or private insurance?
Yes, we are absolutely still. We probably save a little bit over $1 million a year staying with state health benefits as opposed to going self-insured. All right, and we're constantly monitoring that, and it's just right now the pool is large enough where we're not a major detriment to the pool. All right, because our experience is relatively good as compared to other municipalities of similar size. All right, but in the event that we do get a little blip and it does increase at some point, the pool is large enough to spread that loss. All right, and on the liability and automobile and casualty side, we're looking at like a 3% increase. All right, but the protections that we get with cyber liability, all right, and everything else more than pays for that. And if we were to go to the open market, even with that piece of insurance, we would be paying at least 50% to 60% more.
Yeah, it's an extraordinary number.
Yeah,
extraordinary number. So the reason why that's so important is because of roughly a $530,000 savings in medical costs, the appropriation is up almost $1.7 million. It could have been actually $2.3 million, and if that plus a revenue shortfall, we would have been back up at a $2.9 million increase in the levy. So right now, because of that, we're down at 1.6. Almost 1.7 on appropriations, and we have a revenue shortfall of $434,000. We're basically the tax levy, which means the taxes that need to be raised from taxpayers is going up $2.1 million right now. That's a 5.1% increase, or on average, about $209 per household. I think that's entirely unacceptable. And I'm not comfortable introducing a budget that reflects these increases. We have, obviously, I have an argument with the state around the issue of continuing our aid. As I shared with you at the end of last year when we were finished, we didn't get finished negotiating the aid until in the afternoon of September 20th, when the actual deadline for getting that aid negotiated and set was the next day, September 21st. It was a brutal fight. It was a very hard fight to get that far. And so I'm not comfortable that the state, given where they're looking, because they just announced $1 billion worth of budget cuts, right, that we're going to be successful getting that kind of aid. So I am, not only am I concerned about the fact that we have to absorb the $600,000 statutory shortfall, I'm concerned that the number is going to be less than $3.6 million, and that this increase could rise because of lower state aid. So when I look, I think you all have to look at your budgets and see where is there opportunity to adjust this increase. Some of it, I think we're going to basically be guided by the budget introduction and look at where we have to get to in order to introduce a budget. But I believe it's going to be an ongoing process between now and when we ultimately settle on the state aid as to where we are going to have a need to further adjust the budget.
What time do we have to statutorily introduce?
Next week. The next meeting, the 2 weeks. The 19th, March 19th.
They pushed it back to the 19th, didn't they?
Yeah, that's the date. And I talked to them today, and now they have no intention of moving. So, so if I go down the budget, if you look at the budget summary sheet I gave you, right, this is all draft, right? These are all working copies. And one of the things I will tell you is I apologize for being late with this. We were scrubbing it before coming upstairs. I've asked Ro to actually go through and tomorrow and do another scrub to make sure there aren't any formula errors. I'm hoping that there might be a formula error that lowers it. But I'm not comfortable that there is. So if you look at the top part of the schedule, each department is broken out. Mayor's office right through Parks and Public Property. What I would tell you is, Joe, the mayor's office, what we've captured is roughly a reduction in salaries of about $8,500 and a increase in civic celebration of 10 and consulting costs for Inglesino and so on, given some of the things that are going on, that represents that $63,000. What's important about the consulting fees that are in there, a lot of that work is subject to reimbursement once we go into phase three of the RDA process, redevelopment agreement process. It's just the fact that we're going to incur it before we get back. And Steve, in your department, what I looked at and I saw in your department, it's about a $46,000 increase in garbage with like a $30-something thousand increase in animal control. There's a couple of other small things in there, but primarily, adjustment that's in there. If you go to the detail sheet that each of you have, and you want to track along, what I'm explaining to you is roughly laid out there. So if you go to public affairs, go to the end, it shows basically salaries are adjusting $21,000. Next page. There you go. Salaries are adjusting $21,000, and your other expense is $82,000. And that's so animal control garbage is most of that. your regular.
Yeah, that was that significant increase I talked about.
And you teed it up, and it came through in your budget. Okay. And it was easy enough to track, because if you go, once you hit animal control and garbage, there ain't nothing left. Right? So there's not much there. Right? If you flip, and you go to revenue and finance, to the end, you'll see that revenue and finance, my salary change is $38,000 increase, but my bigger change is in the other expense, and that's primarily comprised of three things: $301,000 for pension increase, and $172,000 for a sewer increase and some miscellaneous O&E of $25,000. So the bulk of what the change is in revenue and finance relates to pension increases in sewer, substantially. When you flip the page and you go to public safety, when you scroll back to public safety, so public safety, we're seeing two things. It's a $1,009,000 increase in public safety, $834,000 increase in salaries, with a $175,000 increase in other expense.
You looking at Tom, that? Yeah, I am. And when that grant that we took, you know, for keeping our complement at a certain number, we should be getting payment that year, this year for that.
A piece of it.
A piece of it. And I think it's 175.
But yeah. It's split. It's not all salaries. It's a rough, almost a 50-50 split.
Right.
So 80 of it, it's, if you look at your sheet,
one page back, yeah.
Go back to the grants. 82,506 is for the COPS grant for salaries, and 85,873.80 is for OE.
Right.
And that brings you to the total for this year's grant, which 168.
168,000? Mm-hmm. I was thinking it was 174.
It's going to change every year. It basically, it weans you off until it's zero. So right. Last year it was higher, this year it's less.
And it'll phase out. Part of that is because it's a grant, that's on the revenue side. It doesn't come into your budget, it's on the revenue side. So there's a revenue piece for $168,000. Mm-hmm. And there's a in your appropriation side, because that's where the cost is.
Right.
But yes. So there is that element in there, but you also have the rest of it.
Right. So I'm just saying, but that would be against, if we're going up a million, that 168,000 is. I know it doesn't. It shows differently there, but this simple math off my increase, I would say.
Well, put it away. There's $1,009,000 increase in appropriations for you. But of that $1,009,000, $168,000 less isn't affecting the taxpayer because there's a grant offset.
That's my point.
Yeah, I understand it. But this shows where that is, and that's to what your initial budget is. Okay. But that's a very significant increase, and we've been working hard to manage our way through this.
Right.
And so my ask to you is to take a real hard look at that.
And I will, and this is a point of information too, in the police department and in the fire department also, you know, we're expecting a couple of retirements this year. We already had a person put in for a transfer that wants to transfer out of our department. So you replace some big money with some small money, you know, hopefully throughout the year, and even sometimes in public safety, we have to prepare for the worst and hope for the best. At the end of the year, or however we want to do it, you know, we hopefully have money in our budget to give back, you know. Yeah, but again, just preparing for the, you know, the worst.
I understand.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, maybe we do.
And especially with the police department, Tom, it's very difficult. Like when people transfer or lateral out of here, and it's not like the old days where people got hired and they stay, I mean, in one job forever. They go now, and this happens all the time, and, you know, God forbid if somebody gets hurt, we can't order up a cop either. So, you know, and I talked to Chief Strumel today about that because of the grant. With somebody leaving now unexpectedly, the next academy is not until, you know, the summer, so it's 6 months. So I want to make sure that we still qualify for the grant as well.
So where are we right now in terms of the TOO, the table of organization of the police? Mm-hmm. I think it called for, including the chief, 71.
72 it is.
72. So what are we in relation to that then?
Right now, I think we're at 71. Mm-hmm. With this lateral.
Okay. And what about
we're short
on the fire side?
I think it's 33.
Okay, 33, 35,
yeah.
And so you just take a look.
Yeah.
Right, just because, you know, we, again, those are, as we all know, those are expensive spots.
Yeah. And I have to say, I mean, and, you know, especially with the police department, it is very expensive running this, and I appreciate everybody's cooperation, And as you all know, finishing in the top 50 safest communities in the state of New Jersey, at least we're getting a return on our investment, you know, for the dollars invested in it.
For right now, all I'm looking at
is the numbers.
I got a big number.
You know, okay. We show a lot of luck with it. I drink to that more.
I appreciate that support.
Yeah, I have my full
when I'm being pounded, I know where you guys stand. But I'm serious. I really am serious. It's a lot to absorb in a single year. And when you look at the fact that the average tax in Maui is up at $11,300, and this is the municipal increase right now, and this would take that average tax and make it 11.5 before the school and the county. So that's a big increase.
Right? It's a $500 increase. You're saying it's 11.
Well, when you look at what the school will put up, we're looking between $500 and $600 on average for a household, and that's just way too much. And I don't think we can support that. So I can understand if we're supporting it by saying, look, this is state pensions. I know the state's looking at this. We're following the law, right? And that's what we have to absorb. Until that changes, like the medical stuff changes, you know, we have to stand by that. But I think we all have to continue to monitor very closely what's going on in our departments from a manpower standpoint and so on, because that's it. Like, your salaries are changing $21,000. Mine's changing $38,000. My manpower is basically the same. So
basically, the problem, I don't know if you're facing the same problem, but competitiveness. I mean, we've got people well trained up. They're ready to leave. What am I going to do? Lose somebody after 15 years of working?
These people can have their licenses, their competitive salaries. You know the problem. I have a simple payroll position. Right? I was getting a lot of pushback on it. The challenge that we have is, you know, we're happening to be a municipality located in the northeast corridor of the United States, which is a very expensive corridor to live in. So when I look at the salaries that I track nationally, you know, because they're accounting based and I can track them. When you say, okay, here's this salary, you have to put 30% on top of it for the New Jersey, northern New Jersey market, this area. Right? And when they look at the location of that, it's like, you know, it's like between here and Paramus, right? So it's this corridor where there's a significant, it's cost of living.
And keep in mind, they're doing collateral duties too. It isn't just a job description that they have when they were hired. They're doing the work of two or three people. The choice is either you made that investment and you keep it, or you're going to hire two or three more people, so you lose either way.
Rather than hiring somebody in the tax collector's area, I just gave an individual a $3,500 adjustment, or $3,200 adjustment to cover the cashier's area, simply because I don't want to hire, you know, a $35,000 person to do that. So just, we have to, when we went through this last year, we all went through very, very significant reviews of our department. And when you then say, you know, after going through that, to offset a $2.9 million increase, which is what we did last year, to come along and say, okay, now it's back up, another, you know, $1.7 million in appropriations, you can only go to the well so many times. There's statutory structures that are in place. There are safety, health, related things that are in place that we have to manage through. It just makes it a very, very complex financial picture. Take a hard look. All right. Joe, you know, you're going up, you know, $252,000 net. It's roughly $317,000 in salaries with an offset of $64,000 reduction in NO&E. That's in there. Again, same thing. And one of the things that we have to talk about is included in all of this is a shortfall in the water utility revenue. I think it's roughly $234,000 shortfall that we have to capture. And I know, Joe, you and I, we've talked about this. You're doing a lot of analysis to understand what that is, because on one side, it would be suggestive of lower revenue, right? But the consumption wouldn't, you know, it doesn't track it. So just take a real hard look at
the,
that.
The word utility is, over the last 4 years, we've lost $1 million in revenue, which doesn't seem to make sense. So it could be just a decrease in consumption, or it could be something else, but it doesn't seem likely that we would lose a quarter of our revenue over a four-year term. So it's something we've got to look at. So,
But Mara raised an interesting point when we were talking about the health care. If our sewer bill is going up, right, and that's water-based?
Water in, water out.
Right? Why would we have then a lower water bill? Because we would think that if the sewer's going up, the water would track with it.
It doesn't seem like we're bringing in less water. So it's a matter of...
we're just billing less.
We may be billing less. We may be collecting less. We may be
capturing
less. We have more on account of water.
But that wouldn't track the revenue. Why would the revenue be decreasing each year? Whatever you are on your appropriation end, it's your appropriation end. But your revenue is based on what your water rents are. So it does seem to be something that's tracking lower, but why?
Yeah, so it's the meter reading, right?
Right.
So if the water's coming into the pit says X, and the metering says Y, and there's a difference, the question then becomes, why is that difference occurring?
That still wouldn't account for the revenue decreasing.
Yeah, what? We're billing less. If I bring in, let's say...
But if you're constant...
In your consumption, right?
But if you're constant in what you're billing, but still your revenue's going down, so it's something we have
well,
to
yeah,
look at.
Well, yeah, no, if you said, look, every year I'm billing 1,000 gallons of water, and my pit is saying 1,000 gallons of water is coming in, but my revenue, and there hasn't been a rate change, and my revenue is going down, that would suggest that...
The success is a metering problem.
Exactly. But there might be a technical problem between what the meter is reading and what's actually making it into the bill. But that's... We check
that's
that,
the word.
And that's tracking.
The other thing about the increase is recycling. We're paying to get rid of our recycling in the past through getting some revenue. So now we're paying approximately $5,000 a month to basically tipping fees for our recycling. So it's another area where we have to look at doing things a different way. I don't know what that way is, but it's certainly the way it's headed. It's not the right way. It's really a global issue that the state needs to correct. But we're going to get there, so we got to look internally.
Would you take a hard look at the salary to make sure there is a classification?
Yeah.
I was surprised when I said it was still going up that much.
I think that's from the recycling coming in, but I'll look at it.
It seems like there's a classification issue. I didn't think your salary was enough for 70,000. You got rid of people. So
I got to look at that, but I think that's from the recycling coming into the budget.
It just may be a classification error, because it makes sense that if we have an O&E now for the recycling bill, that O&E would be higher than... I think you just look at it. Mauro, when we look at yours, moving right along. My schedule doesn't have a summary. It's just a salary and so.
What a coincidence!
But
trying to say, Al. Hey, what a coincidence!
I have no filter tonight. You're in trouble.
Well, minus 5.7% is bigger than me.
Yeah. So your salaries are up $123,000. Right, so.
And that's primarily due to staff, to little adjustments.
But the other side is the big story, we talked about already, the medical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pulling out $530,000 out of the medical right now, you know, is a huge.
We're still looking at that.
Yeah, and my suspicion is later on when we do that deeper analysis,
mm-hmm.
we'll probably find our way, you know, hoping to absorb a little bit more.
And this budget also includes, $25,000 in, I guess, the commissioner's line, from $1,000 in other expenses to $26,000. That $25,000 is the follow-up to the white paper. To take that next step to look at some of the effects of multifamily housing and begin that process.
Okay. Anything I can do to collaborate on that?
Because
I think as we're finding, there's a lot of detailed analysis that's behind those summary numbers that needs to be done.
It's not what we would think are the obvious things. It's the quiet impacts that are really affecting the budget. And that goes across all five departments.
When I look at the next line item is debt service, right? And overall, our debt service is going down by $12,000, so it's basically flat. If you recall, last year we lowered debt service by $300,000, and this is staying consistent with the change that occurred last year. So the debt service is basically flat. The uncollected tax is $87,000. That's a statutory requirement to manage our uncollected taxes. We did work with the auditors and got cooperation to waive that last year, but I'm not going to get that cooperation 2 years in a row. So that was more of a one and done. So if you then look to the bottom of that summary sheet I gave you, right, it basically shows that we have a, if you look at the summary, we have a little summary over here, right? It basically shows that we have the water deficit, and we did have the outside police duty that we had to accrue last year for $20,000. We didn't have to do that this year because you have an outside agent that does that, so you don't have to do
right.
that. But if you look at the water area, it's down about $109,000, so that there's a decrease there. If you look at the big increases, and we look at, as I said, we have a $300,000 increase in pension. We have a $172,000 increase in sewer. The library at $31,000, we didn't go over that, but that's the statutory requirement to fund the library based upon our assessed value. The debt service is going down by $12,000. Reserve fund collected taxes is going up by $87,000. We have a $250,000 increase related to the recycling change. That's partially offset because of the lower revenue, the lower state aid. We also have a lower appropriation because we don't have to give the money to the school and to the county. So we have a $397,000 reduction there. And we have overall, if you look across all of the departments right now, that's $1.3 million increase in salaries, which I don't think that number is right because I think you guys got to, again, you got to look at it.
This is where you're at, right?
I'm right here. I'm right here. I'm reading down that.
Okay. Okay. But it's up there.
Yeah, but,
well, right.
But that's not, that's something else.
Okay.
Right. That's just
the end of the report.
No,
they
yeah.
Have to be close up.
Yeah. And then net of other expense of $37,000. So total appropriation increase of $1,662,000. The revenues, as I said, it's lower state aid by $615,000 with an offset in some one-time revenues related to the MECA settlement and the RDA. So we have a revenue shortfall of $438,000. If you add those two numbers together, that says that the levy impact is $2.1 million, or a 5.1% increase, which translates to, on average, to $209 per household. So again, I think a lot more focus around what we need to do to really see where we can tighten. There are certain places, like the healthcare bill is a bill. It's a piece of paper that comes in. The sewer bill is a piece of paper that comes in. Right? There's not much we can do about that. And if tomorrow, if I heard you correctly, when you think about, you know, all of our people who are taking health care, that's pretty flat year over year.
Pretty much.
The big
benefit to us this year was on the retiree side.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, if that wasn't there, we would probably be in the same spot.
Yeah. So, in summary, that's where we are with this. I wish it was better news, but as I said, please take a really hard look. I'm available to go through with all of you to see where we can come up with any types of changes. On the one side, while it's an increase, it helps with the discussion with the state, because a 5% increase in our municipal levy alone is a very significant increase in overall. As I said, I think it's unacceptable in our climate. And as I said in the beginning, I'm very concerned about how much the state's going to give us this year, and they've given what we went through last year to get where we go.
I know I keep asking this question, and I will continue to ask it. I asked John and Glissimo this a couple times. I know we've made that wish list of or what impacts, you know, that is going on in the town and all that stuff. So now phase three is coming, where we're finally going to be asking. I know, Alan, I want to ask for public safety, you know, what kind of funding we could get because of what that is going to do to public safety, you know, and the you know, even the ambulance squad. So, I mean, I know we can't assume anything in this budget cycle I'm getting at, but I know phase three is coming. And is that doable? I mean, would you plan for the future that we're going to get these impact fees?
The problem is that you're probably going to increase the budget and then be offset by whatever impact fees we can get. I don't think you're not going to be able to just go against your current... because of current budget issues, you know what I'm saying? If you're going to add four more police because you think you're going to have more need or more firemen or more ambulance, you're just going to raise the cost. Maybe to offset the future.
Well, I have to tell you the truth. Even with accepting that grant, with that police grant, which was a $500,000 grant, you know, that's what we are doing in public safety, building and getting ready for this all to come, because we can't say, okay, it's built and let's go put more on. I mean, so that's what. And I'm saying
that. Sit down with John. We should have a separate meeting with just you and I and John, and sit down and go over that. A lot of it may be more towards equipment and materials than, I don't know, about salaries.
And manpower.
Yeah, it's going to be harder to get a continuous, you know, benefit regarding.
I mean, this thing they're saying that when that site's fully developed, that they're expecting 10,000 people through that site a day. Mm-hmm. So just think of all the cars, people backing up into each other. A security team cannot take that, so that's going to be more right. burden on the police department. Mm-hmm. And you'd be surprised in speaking
to... It's LA and Clifton.
Yeah, in Spain, speaking to the mayor of Clifton, I mean, even the mall that they put on Route 3, they are in there all the time.
Well, think of the difference. They had their own fire department, Roach, when they were
right.
operating. Now your fire department and Clifton have to come.
So I'm saying as much as that, it's, you know, we wanted to take a pen and swipe this, it's very difficult knowing what's on the horizon, for me.
Yeah, well, that's why I think it's important that you all sit down separately with John and I talk about your individual departments and what you're looking for, because we need to put that list together soon, very soon.
I mean, I can tell you this real quick. I mean, I don't know that how the all the calls of service that we do in public safety, how we could add on another X amount of calls over there with just the manpower we have. Because we're at 71 cops right now, and, you know, as we all know, it's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, so we don't have them all out there at the same time, and it's a lot of hours and days to cover with that many on there, as we all know.
Well, there's no doubt your response times are going to be affected. Yeah. And
I mean, Clifton, is, you know, to my knowledge, is now stacking calls. A friend of mine got in a little car accident, 2 hours for a cop. You know, you have a barking dog in Nutley, they're there in 2 minutes, so... We have to
when
figure out.
When you have
out.
A domestic violence call, you have no police at all.
Exactly.
Keep that in mind.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing is to do an analysis related to when Roach was at full bloom. What was their usage? What was their need? It wasn't probably as great as it will be because they had their own fire department security.
Sure.
But There's going to be private security.
And it was gated.
Right, no question. So I'm saying there might be, the number of people in and out, though, is probably going to be what it's going to be when it's fully built out, I would think.
Well, right? You saw in the white paper, your calls for service are already, you're already feeling, exactly. You know, the impact of that. So I think that's a good starting point for you. Yeah. Get a hold of what Roche's investment was in manpower and equipment and use that as your guide as part of the negotiation on the community impact use.
That's what I'm saying. I think that data might be very helpful.
Well,
the key component is the fact that it's not gated anymore.
Exactly.
That was a deterrent. Exactly. You can go there from anywhere, including Route 3. I think you could get there from Route 3.
Yeah, you already can.
So there's your...
I think, as you were saying, going deeper dive, to understand what's the nature of the calls, what kind of calls are we getting. You know, and I know, I remember, it's, and I'm dated, but I remember that because of changes in laws, requirements, the paperwork associated with a call. So if it's, I remember like a domestic violence call might involve one or two officers. They go in and make a report out.
Two officers for 4 hours.
Right. And so you know, one call, and because of the paperwork,
yep.
You got two people tied up for, in effect, a half a shift on one call because of those requirements. I think you know, there's another impact that we're seeing as a town, not just from the development, but what is the expanded reporting requirements that we're now subject to because of changes in laws.
Administrative work. Of
right, exactly. Just around because of the other things that are in. So I think there's a lot of good data that could be gathered to justify. But
and you know what, Tom, just one other really important
point. I didn't hear you helping me with the budget yet.
No. Well, because I want you guys to know that when I start slashing it, what the impact is going to be. And even with, you know, the new courts, I've lost for exactly what it is. But now the process is when they have to, we make an arrest, we have to call the prosecutor.
Bail reform.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. You know, so my budget for overtime actually went up, is actually what we spent. And the reason why, somebody, you know, makes an arrest at the end of the shift. Now you're waiting 4 hours to get a phone call back, blah, blah, blah. You know, and 99% of the time it's ROR them anyway. But long story short, you know, that's, there's a lot of things that are out of control.
So that's an example. That's a good example of the data that would be very important. It's just because of bail reform,
right.
We have to do, you know, this new procedure. We got to do this. There's a waiting time associated with that, which we're obligated to pay for.
We are.
Right? So it means it's not that there's an increase in calls. It's just it's an increase of cost associated with a call.
Right.
That we have to deal with. I think that's very beneficial to understand.
What about the effect of marijuana legalized?
I got to be home by tomorrow.
Well, that's ridiculous, that whole thing.
No, but it's going to have a significant...
No, it is.
Absolutely.
But that's where the big challenge comes in, and keeping the services where they are, keeping the town safe, providing all the things that we provide, while at the same time keeping it affordable, because the 209 is on the house, that average house assessed at what?
226.
It's up a little bit here, so
still looking for that house, huh?
And I think, Commissioner, you
just... Two down from you.
I would hope.
It's a garage in the back.
I think you just nailed it. And, you know, my concern is, are we going to go so far that we're going to literally send their town to a journey we don't want to go? We've seen over the years what's happened around us. Cut police, cut fire, cut everything. Cut public works. Look what's happened to these communities.
Yeah.
So, I'm worried about that. I really
absolutely.
Am.
Yeah. So, when you say we can get a cop to a scene in 2-3 minutes, a fire truck in three, four minutes, how many towns can actually do that?
Yeah.
Right? But there's a cost associated with that. And is that, the question becomes...
And if you're looking to reduce the cost, then maybe some of the models need to change.
Exactly.
You can't stay constant in what we used to do with that under 3 minutes, you know, to respond and, you know, keep everything affordable with all the added requirements, both reporting, manpower, and everything else.
Exactly. Yeah. That's just
across the board.
That's everything.
Yeah. That's all the point. Yeah, when I look at the statutory positions I have, the statutory reporting associated with that, none of these requirements are going down. They're not getting any easier, right? But there is a bright light here. We have a rebound coming up that we don't have to bond for.
Always the bearer.
Always
the bearer of good news, Mr. Evans.
So the reason why I raise this is like at one side you could say, wow, public safety is going up $1 million. Oh my God! Right? But there's there's reasons for it, right? There's reasons for it. And so we have to, I think, prepare for, on the budget introduction, to do more for the benefit of the public, is helping them understand what it takes to do what we're doing. And then ultimately, you know, as we're all reminded, we're here at the service of the public, right? So if this starts to go into a certain area and the public tells us they don't want to go in that area, then we're going to have to respond to that.
You know, John Holland used to talk about this a lot. He said, you know what, Steve, Nutley is an exclusive community. He actually used those words, and we are. We're an exclusive community. When I get around and I see the crime rates, and I'm very worried about that, Al. I got to tell you, I'm really worried about it. The shootings not far from here.
Oh, it's right around the corner.
A lot of people don't hear. Right. What's going on. But we don't have that. So, I mean, our department, I mean, we're handling it well. I think, you know, the services are good here. But I'm really worried about that.
Yeah.
Really worried about it.
And you add to that, but which we're not talking about, is what's the requirement it takes to educate our children well today? Yeah.
So, let's sharpen our pencils if we can. Commissioner, you've done a good job sharpening yours.
Thank you, ma'am.
We'll sharpen ours.
And let's, yeah, we can sharpen ours.
Sharpen ours.
And I want to just reiterate what Alan said about getting to John Iglesino and getting your list of what you think the impact of the development on Roche is going to be to your departments, things that we should be asking for. So just, you know, let's get that done, because sooner more than later, is that what the phrase you used?
Sooner rather than later.
Yes.
Sooner, very soon.
We're at 7 o'clock, Mr. Genitempo. Can we just roll into the
regular right into the conference session for the regular.
So the mechanics, March 19th is introduction day. We need a few days lead time in order to get it on the state budget.
18th, right?
Well... I would like to say maybe the 14th or 15th at the latest, so we'd have the weekend to get the actual state form prepared if there are any changes.
Also, capital. The capital budgets, gentlemen, I haven't received any, so if you wouldn't mind, I'd appreciate that.
We have nothing heard.
Okay.
This is the first.
I'm not receiving.
Well, I don't get it. Steve's going to yield his portion. So
March 13th.
The 14th. Let's say the 13th. You want the
13th.
Any final corrections?
13th.
Final revisions by March 13th.
What time?
I don't think we need a meeting. We don't need
a meeting.
No, just whatever just revisions.
Get no, just send me the revisions.
Send the Rosemary as final for the budget.
So let's just go right into the agenda.
Mayor, I'm just going to read the Sunshine Notice. Okay?
You read it again? Sure.
Yeah. Pursuant to the requirements of the Open Public Meeting Act, Chapter 231, Public Law 1975, notice of this meeting, the regular scheduled meeting for the Board of Commissioners, was published in the November 29, 2018 issues of the Nutley Sun, the Herald News, and the Star Ledger. A copy of this notice is posted on the Nutley Town Hall Bulletin Board, and a copy is on file in the Municipal Clerk's Office. And everyone is present, Mayor.
Commissioner Petracco, what do you have on the agenda tonight?
Go over that. Okay. I have a public hearing, if I remember what this. So, yes, I have a public hearing tonight on salary ordinance. I don't think I have any resolutions. I have one, I see. Leave another leave of absence for Kevin. Possibly. That's all I have.
Mr. Evans?
I have two public hearings related to the financing agreements for 100 and 200 Metcliff, which is the former Hoffman Roche site. It's the tax pilot agreements. And I also have the resolution which authorizes the settlement of the tax appeals on the Roche site for the years 2016, 17, and 18. And that's what I have on the agenda tonight, Mayor.
Any discussion on the pilots that?
Just a couple.
All right. Mr. Rogers. Yes, a resolution observing the month of March as National Women's History Month.
Mr. Fish. I have two resolutions, one accepting a bid offer from Marzax, Inc., New Jersey One Auto Sales for surplus equipment, and I have an award of contract to Quality Fence of Peekskill for the replacement of fencing at the American Little League Field. And I believe that I have, yep, that's it.
I have a stock qualifications. I have an award professional service contract to Mr. Cifelli, the Pyro Zinni Cifelli and Jimmy Tempo. I have endorsement of submission of the 2018 Municipal Recycling Tonnage Grant and designating Sal Ferraro as the recycling coordinator. And I have a resolution in opposition of the closure of Highfield Lane by Norfolk Southern, so which will go to the proper transportation. So asking for support on that. We will be behind that 100%. Madam Clerk?
Yes, Mayor, we have minutes for approval, and under communications, we have several applications. One is the Nutley Belleville Columbus Day Parade, a rubber ducky for that's organized with Ducky. The rubber ducky walk. One is from the Nutley Rotary Club, the Nutley High School Hockey Boosters, and the Friends of Phoenix Center. They have all submitted applications.
Mr. Janet Tampa?
I have litigation matters to discuss, and I'd like to go to negotiations, talk about negotiations with Dean and final discussion on the final.
And
personnel,
and I want to executive on contract negotiations.
Do we have to say what it is for?
Contract negotiations, unless it's going to reveal something that's highly confidential. It's not for public consumption yet.
The redevelopment of the Chickaweedy Park.
Okay, that's fine.
Motion?
Yeah, motion.
Move.
Second.
Whereas Section 8 of the Open Public Meeting Act, Chapter 231, Public Law 1975, permits the exclusion of the public from meeting in certain circumstances. And whereas the public body is of the opinion that such circumstances exist. And whereas the Board of Commissioners of the Township of Nutley and the County of Essex, State of New Jersey desires to proceed to close executive session. And now therefore be it resolved by the Board of Commissioners of the Township of Nutley move into close executive session to discuss litigation, negotiations, contract negotiations for the redevelopment of the Chickaweedy property and personnel matters. Be a further resolved at the time when such discussion may be disclosed to the public shall be when and such disclosure may be made without adversely affecting the Township of Nutley pending and or anticipated legal, personnel, contractual matters and other matters within the exceptions provided for by statute. Commissioner Rogers.
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci.
Aye.
Commissioner Evans.
I am
here. Aye.
Commissioner Petracco.
Aye.
And Mayor Scarpelli.
Aye.
Hi, Dean. Good, how are you? I don't know what you were writing.